Today, we are celebrating Janmashtami. Every day we celebrate Krishna. Today we are celebrating Janmashtami. Why are we celebrating? Krishna is born, yeah? Not quite yet. It's Devaki hasn't delivered yet. Vasudeva and Devaki are full of delight that another child is going to come. They don't know whether it's going to be a boy or a girl. And they're also full of trepidation that what will Kamsa do? So we're celebrating because Krishna's born and tomorrow, Nandotsav, Nanda Maharaj has the festival. We're celebrating because Krishna's born as the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, Devaki Vastra. That's right, isn't it? Isn't that right? We're celebrating because Krishna's born. Maybe. If you're a highly elevated devotee, then like the Vrajavasis, you'll be very blissful. Oh, Nanda Maharaj had a son. Very nice. Oh, how wonderful. After so much time, very good, very nice. But we are celebrating, we who are on the other side of the Viraja River, we are celebrating because Bhagawan has come to save us. Krishna with the Vrajavasis, that's his internal leela, which we find out about, not from Bhagavad Gita exactly. Krishna says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glane bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya tadushkritam dharmasam sthapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Whenever and whenever there is a decline in religious principles and an upsurge of irreligion, at that time Krishna says, I appear specifically to uplift the sadhus and destroy the rascals and to reestablish the principles of religion. Krishna says, I appear in every age. So those who are sadhus or aspiring to be sadhus, saintly people, they are happy that Krishna has come to save us. He's Bhagavan. When Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, he's speaking as Bhagavan. He says, Bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam hi etad uttamam. I'm speaking this to you because you are my very dear friend. But after all, it is Bhagavad Gita. It's not Krishna Gita. You're listening very carefully, is it? Could be falling asleep, or it could be listening very carefully. So he comes to us in Bhagavad Gita, he comes to establish that he is Bhagavan, and he's come to uplift those who are very fallen. That means everyone in this material world, with the exception of Arjuna, Devaki, Vasudev, Nanda, Yashoda, Srila Prabhupada. We are the ones he's come to uplift. So from our perspective, it's Bhagavan who's come to save us. And then later we learn from Bhagavatam, who is this Krishna? It's not denied that he's Krishna. His name is given so many ways in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna addresses Krishna as Krishna, Chanchalanghi Mana, Krishna. He addresses him as Achyuta, Govinda, Madhusudan, by so many different names. But Krishna is, in Bhagavad Gita, revealing himself as Bhagavan. And Srila Prabhupada, he makes an issue of this for understanding Bhagavad Gita, that we have to, if at all we're to understand Bhagavad Gita, we have to at least theoretically accept that Krishna is Bhagavan. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, there's no use. If we don't accept it as authoritative words from the supreme authority, then there's no meaning to studying Bhagavad Gita. And in the first instance of the word Bhagavan appearing in Bhagavad Gita, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, at the first instance, Srila Prabhupada, in some detail, considering that there are so many topics to be discussed within this work, in some detail, he discusses the definition of Bhagavan and how that must pertain to Krishna. So yes, we are celebrating Krishna appeared in this world, but there are so many people who appear in this world. We all got born in this world, we don't know how many times. Probably if you go to one of the hospitals in Salem, there's a child being born right now. Always people are being born. And they may have different names, like Shanmugan and Sentil and Krishna. They may also have to be given the name Krishna. But we're not celebrating, and they'll be the son and daughter of someone, right? That's obvious. But we are celebrating Krishna's birthday because he is Bhagavan. And the Vrajavasis are celebrating because he's the son of Nanda and Yashoda. And that he's Bhagavan or not Bhagavan, they're not quite sure. In the beginning they don't think like that. Later on, sometimes they think like that, but most of the time they don't think like that. But for us, it's important to know that he's Bhagavan. And Srila Prabhupada gives the definition of the term Bhagavan. It's not a term that anyone can arbitrarily use. Of course, it is done, but it is not proper to do so. The term Bhagavan is properly applied to that person who has these qualities, which Parashara Muni in Vishnu Purana has elaborated. Aishvaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashasya shriyaha jnana vairagya yoschaiva shannang bhaga itingana. A person can be called Bhagavan in the full sense of the term, who has all bhagas, or auspicious qualities, in full. That is, wealth, or wealth, aishvaryasya, samagrasya, viryasya, power, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and detachment. So that fits Krishna, that description fits Krishna. There's no one else who can be said to have all these qualities in full. Everyone has these qualities to some extent, but the only one who has them in full is Krishna. The whole Bhagavad Gita is to teach us who is Bhagavan, by Bhagavan. And of course, Bhagavan has unlimited transcendental qualities. Ananta Kalyana Guna Vishishta. He has innumerable qualities which are all for the benefit. They're all auspicious. Sada Sat Chaham Arjuna, Krishna says. I am Sat and Asat. I'm saying, God is Asat? Bhagavan is bad, but Krishna's asat is also good. What we see as good and bad in this world, that's from our perspective. But Krishna, everything he does is good. This pandemic is sweeping the world, it's very bad. No, if we see from Krishna's perspective, it's good. It's also Krishna in one form. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada said, when he was taking kachoris while the bombs were raining down in Calcutta during the Second World War, Everyone told him, come underground to the air raid shelter. And Srila Prabhupada said, first I'll take prasadam, then I'll go. And he heard the bombs dropping and he thought, this is also Krishna in another form. Sarvam kalvidam brahma. Everything here, as well as there and everywhere, is Brahma, Krishna. So everything is Krishna. Everything about him is all beneficial for everyone. Bhagavan. This term, Bhagavan, can be understood unlimitedly because he's unlimited. We say six qualities. We can be circumscribed within six qualities, but of course he has unlimited qualities. Srila Jiva Goswami, in his Shatshandarbhas, the six thematic expositions on the Absolute Truth, beginning with Tattva Sandarbha. What is Tattva? What are we talking about? What's going on? What's real? In the second of the Sandarbhas, Bhagavad Sandarbha, the topic of Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna Sandarbha comes later. There's some distinction. In one sense, again, it's perspective. Krishna is Bhagavan, Bhagavan is Krishna. Having given all his elaborations on the nature of Bhagavan, mostly drawn from Srimad Bhagavatam, Jiva Goswami concludes almost at the end of Bhagavad Sandarbha, just in the last, just toward the end. He gives the definition of Bhagavan in two sentences. This is prose, but they're long sentences. It's a more expanded definition. This is who we're celebrating the appearance of today. I'll read the Sanskrit and then a translation. Tadevam satchidanandaika rupa swarupa bhuta chintya vichitrananta shakti yukto dharmatva eva dharmitvam nirbhedatva eva nana bheda vatrtvam aparupitva eva rupitvam vyapakatva eva madhyamatvam satyam evityadi paraspar virudhananta gunanidhi. That's one sentence. Second sentence, which is more than twice as long as the first sentence. This is Jiva Goswami. Sthula sukshma vilakshana svaprakasha khanda svasvarupa bhuta shri vigrahas tatha bhuta bhagavadakhya mukhyaika vigraha vyanjita tadrishananta vigrahas Tadrisha Svanu Rupa Swarupa Shaktiavi Bhava Lakshana Lakshmi Ranjita Vama Vasha Svaprabhavi Sheshakara Parichet Parikara Nija Dhamma Su Viraja Manakara Swarupa Shakti Vilasa Lakshanad Bhuta Guna Liladi Chamat Karitatma Ramadi Guno Nija Samanya Prakashakara Brahma Tadvo Nijashrayaika Jivana Jiva Kyatatashta Shaktir Ananta Prapancha Vyanjita Svabhasa Shakti Guno Bhagavan Iti Vidvad Upalabdharta Shabdar Vyanjitam. That's the second sentence. Bhagavan Iti. This is the description of Vidvad. Vidvad upalabdharta shabda. This is how the Vidvan, the learned people, realize and understand the meaning of this word. Okay, here is a translation of or definition of the name Bhagavan. He whose form is eternal and full of knowledge and bliss, who possesses inconceivable, wonderful, unlimited potencies. Who possesses, or who of his very nature has inconceivable, wonderful, unlimited potencies, who is Dharma and the most dharmic person, who is different, not different from anything and different from everything in many ways, who has no form and is form. You'll find it again and again here. Rupa, Swarupa, Akara, in this definition. Who is all-pervading and localized, who is an ocean of limitless, mutually contradictory qualities. So some examples have been given. He's non-different from everything and different from everything. Here, form, no form, all-pervading, localized. So, and there are so many apparently actually contradictory qualities which are fully manifest in the person of Bhagavan, who by his own wish alone manifests his transcendental form. Yes, Krishna appears, Janmashtami, by his own wish. His own form, which is completely different from the gross and subtle elements of the material world, whose left side is decorated by the presence of his personal potency, Lakshmi Devi. Bhagavan, right? We're talking about Bhagavan. We're not talking about Krishna. There's Bhagavan. Later we'll have Krishna. Now discussing Bhagavan, with Bhagavan is Lakshmi. If we bring Bhagavan to Radha, other gopis, they may see Bhagavan and say, Namo Narayana. Did you see Krishna? But when Bhagavan comes before Radha, no more Bhagavan. He loses two hands. His personal potency, Lakshmi Devi, whose transcendental form is like his. That's a very important statement. But there are so many important statements. Whose transcendental form is splendidly manifested among his splendid associates in his transcendental abodes, whose potencies, wondrous, playful qualities, pastimes and features fill the great devotees with wonder, who is identical with the impersonal Brahman, who is the shelter and sustenance of the marginal potency that is the individual spirit souls, and whose abhasa shakti manifests limitless material universes. Abhasa shaktis, they're untranslated. Perverse reflection, energy of perverse reflection. So that's why we're celebrating. That's a lot to absorb and understand. So we're celebrating because Krishna has appeared. Krishna is Bhagavan. Jai Shri Krishna Bhagavan. Jai Shri Janmashtami Mahotsav. At least on this festival day, we can glorify Krishna. Definitely every day we should glorify Krishna. But sometimes we speak on various topics connected to Krishna, such as we are not the body, connected to Krishna because Krishna teaches this. We hear that series of talks that Srila Prabhupada gave in Bombay in 1974-75 that were made into the book Teachings of Lord Kapila, Son of Devahuti, discussing Sankhya philosophy. So a lot of the time in that section, there's a discussion of the elements, how they interact with each other, the enumeration of the elements. So we may discuss topics that are Bhagavatam topics that related to Krishna, but on this day especially, we want to glorify Krishna, and we hope that all the devotees all over the world are very happy celebrating Janmashtami, even with the fasting. That's also happy. Everything is happy in Krishna consciousness. It's a great pleasure for the devotees to fast and cook a huge feast for Krishna. That's their pleasure. Idam Narayanaya Namama. This is all for Krishna, not for me. So we have to glorify Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada set up the whole International Society for Krishna Consciousness just to bring people to the platform of glorifying Krishna. And hopefully even ISKCON's great jokers and bridge preachers, at least on this day, they will talk about Krishna, because it's Krishna's birthday. How old is Krishna? Who knows? Can anyone say? Did anyone find out? It's 5,000 something. How many years? How old is Krishna? Ajo Pisa. Ajo Pisa. Krishna, he's not even born yet. He's still in the womb. But how old is he? Adyang Purusham. He's the oldest. Navayovanam cha. It's very difficult to say how old is Krishna, because there's no time in Krishna. Krishna is about to be born. He is born. He's playing with the cows and calves, holding on to the tail of the calves and getting dragged through the mud. He's getting tied up by Mother Yashoda. He's dancing with the gopis. He's in Mathura, killing Kamsa. He's doing all these things simultaneously in one universe or another. So how old is he? Well, how can you say? You can say how old you are, or I am. I am 45 years old. Today's my birthday also. My life began 45 years ago at Bhaktivedanta Manor near to London. So it's also my birthday. Another way, it's also my birthday. I came to Mangalati for the first time in weeks, and it's the first time in weeks I'm sitting like this to give a talk. And we're also looking, is Krishna Navayovanam cha. He's always fresh and new. The pastimes are always new. Every time the residents of Vrindavan, they see Krishna, it's like they first saw him for the first time. Just like if we don't meet someone who we love and we see them after a long time, we're very happy to meet them. So in the same way, Krishna goes out taking the cows in the forest. He comes back, and all the residents of Vrindavan who don't go with him, that's the cowherd boys, they go with him. And sometimes, many times, the gopis sneak out and meet him also. But Nanda Maharaj, the older cowherd men and women, they see Krishna, and it's just like, oh, they never saw him before. Oh, so Krishna, oh, they're so happy to see him. So it's always new. So in the same way, every day in Krishna consciousness, it's always new, and we look forward to the rebirth of ISKCON. There's always hope. We want that Varnashram communities all over the world, there'll be so many people who are celebrating Krishna everywhere. So I thought it would be very suitable for Janmashtami to speak on Vishnu Sahasranama. It's also it's always suitable on any occasion. The name which I'm going to speak on now, Krishna willing, is Sadgati, which is quite suitable for Janmashtami. Some names are more suitable for different occasions and others not. For Janmashtami, names of Krishna given just like Tat. The name Tat, it's also a name of Krishna. So that, yeah, you can. But this name I'm going to speak on, name 704, Sadgati. So you can all understand the meaning of that term, or the meanings. There are so many meanings, because the word sat can have various meanings, and the word gati can have various meanings. So one meaning is that sad means that which is right, that which is proper, and gati means goal. So Krishna is the proper goal. Krishna is the proper person to celebrate the birthday of. It's our own birthdays. That's why I said my birthday is today, because 45 years. Because that was really my birth. Otherwise, how many births did I take? How many births have we taken? How many atoms are there in the universe? Who can say? No one can say. We've all had more births than atoms in the universe. We can't even say how many atoms are in our body. So the real birth is coming to Krishna consciousness, getting the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Prati janme janme sabe mata pita pai Krishna guru nahi mili bhaja ho hi ai. After in every birth we get a father and a mother, but if we get the opportunity to have a real guru who can guide us to Krishna, then we should take that opportunity very seriously and worship with him with all our heart and soul. So Krishna is the proper goal. Sat refers to that which is good, noble, true, real, and other similar definitions can be given. Gati means the goal or the path, the way to the goal. So Krishna, by appearing in this world, he shows us that he is the Sadgati. And by appearing in this world, he shows us that he is the Sadgati, in the sense that he is the proper goal. And he is the Sadgati in the sense that he is the proper path. He shows us the path to go to him. So he's all auspicious and all merciful. He is the best goal, and he is the goal particularly of those who are sat. Paritranaya sadhunam. Those who are sat are called sadhu. So Krishna comes to uplift the sadhus, the saintly people. Other people, the rascals, they have different ideas about what the goal of their life is. I want to have lots of money. I want to be well known. I want. So many things they want. But those who are sat, those whose intelligence is purified, they want to go to Krishna. So particularly, Krishna is the ultimate goal of life for those who are sat, for those who are leading a pure life, and for those who are interested in attaining the highest goal. In this regard, much earlier in Vishnu Sahasranam came the name Muktanam Parama Gatihi. He's the goal, the topmost goal for the liberated person. We may think the liberated persons, well, they already reached the goal, but no. There's further to go yet. And for those who aspire for mukti, they should know that Krishna, Bhagavan, he is Muktidata, Mukunda, the one who gives mukti. And he is, for those who are liberated from this world, who don't want anything of this world, that's the definition of those who are liberated from this world, they still desire to attain him. He shows the right path, and he helps us along the path also. So he is the path in that sense. The similar name has come previously, Gati Sattama, the goal which is for the best of the sats. So it's a similar name to that, the best of those who are on the proper path. This also brings to mind the name that I spoke on extensively in several talks, Tirthaka, one who makes the tirthas. People, they go to holy places. They go, their destination, they go to a holy place, but they come back. But the real goal of going to a holy place is to have the understanding that this is where I really need to be. I need to be with Krishna. So I spoke extensively on the name Tirthaka, but after I thought I'd finished all the talks, I came across a few more quotes from Srila Prabhupada and from his translations of Shastra, which are applicable to the name Tirthaka. So I'll read them. Srila Prabhupada wanted his disciples to be tirthas. He wanted them to be holy places. This is from a letter to Srila Prabhupada, written to Rupa Anuga Prabhu on the 3rd of July, 1968. Srila Prabhupada wrote, "When Vidura met Maharaj Yudhishthira, he received him by saying that your good self can make any place a sacred place of pilgrimage because you always carry within your heart Lord Krishna. So that is the real truth. Anyone who carries Krishna within himself constantly can go anywhere and turn the place into a sacred pilgrimage. That is the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam and the blessings of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya gave a plain order that anywhere we go, simply talk of Krishna consciousness and you will become a spiritual master. So if we simply do this work very sincerely, our life and the life of those who hear us will be benedicted." So we can understand that Srila Prabhupada, he wanted his disciples to be tirthas, to be persons by approaching whom others can cross over this material world. You were just singing, Abhava. What is that from? Abhava Sagar Sindhu, what is that? Tarahai Abhava Sindhure, yeah, from the song Bhaja Hure Mana. So he wanted them to help others cross over the material world, and that way he says very clearly he wants them to be spiritual masters. Here's a verse from 10th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 68, text 37. Listen towards the end of the second line for the words Tirtha Tirtham. Yasyam Gripankaja Rajo Kila Loka Palair Molyutamai Dhritam Upasita Tirtha Tirtham Brahma Bhavohamapi Yasya Kala Kalaya Shrischodvahema Chiramasya Nripasanangva. The dust of Krishna's lotus feet, which is the source of holiness for all places of pilgrimage, is worshipped by all the great demigods. The principal deities of all planets are engaged in his service, and they consider themselves most fortunate to take the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna on their crowns. Great demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva and even the goddess of fortune and I, this verse is spoken by Balaram, are simply parts of his spiritual identity, and we also carefully carry that dust on our heads, and still Krishna is not fit to use the royal insignia or even sit on the royal throne. This is Balaram speaking to the assembled Kurus. So the point here is that the dust, there's a point here in relation to the name Tirthaka, Sadgati. They are in some way synonymous. They're definitely, they're all synonymous in as much as they're all names for Krishna. So the point here is that the dust of Krishna's lotus feet is the source of holiness for all places of pilgrimage. From Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 86, text 52. It's a theme which is repeatedly made in Bhagavatam and other shastras. Deva kshetrani tirthani darshana sparshanarchanai shanaif purnanti kalena tadapyarhatamekshaya. One can gradually become purified by seeing, touching, and worshipping temple deities, places of pilgrimage, and holy rivers, but one can attain the same result simply by receiving the glance of exalted sages. So the point is being made that the devotees are the best tirthas. In the words of the son of King Prachina Barhi, a similar point, from Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Text 37, Teshang vicharatang padbhyam tirthanam pavane chaya bhitasya king narocheta tavakanam samagamaha. Dear Lord, your personal associates, your devotees, wander all over the world to purify even the holy places of pilgrimage. Is not such an activity pleasing to those who are actually afraid of material existence? Then in the 11th canto, Vande Mahapurusha Te Charanaravindam, the verses come up in which one of the names of Krishna, or descriptions of Krishna, are given there. Tirthas Padam. His lotus feet are the shelter of all holy places. So getting back to directly the name Sadgati, Parashara Bhatta explains this name, Sadgati, as one who provides the right path for the good and the virtuous, the good or the virtuous. So here the word Sat is being used twice. Here, Gati is translated as path or the way to go. He is the path to go where? To him. And it's the Sat path, it's the right path for the Sat people, the good people. And the right path is that which leads to eternal peace, bliss, everything auspicious. And Parashara Bhatta, in this regard, gives the example of the situation in the world at the time of Lord Krishna's birth. So it's very suitable for today's discussion. He quotes naturally from Vishnu Purana, naturally because he's in the sampradaya of Sri Ramanujacharya. Vishnu Purana describes in some detail, he quotes the situation in the world of Krishna being born to Devaki, and he quotes one of the verses, Parashara Bhatta quotes in Vishnu Purana. You can, if you listen carefully, you can, just by hearing the words, you can understand what it means, especially those of you who are studying Sanskrit. Santa Santosham, you have the word Santosham in Tamil. Santa Santosham Adhikam, also common word in Tamil. Prashamam Chanda Marutaha Prasadam Nimagnayata Jayamane Janadane. A translation given here. The virtuous experienced a new delight. The strong winds subsided and the river glided tranquilly as Janadan was about to be born. And in the same sampradaya, Sri Ramanujan, V.V. Ramanujan, gives some more examples that when Krishna was born to Devaki, And Devika and Vasudeva thinking, now what? We know what happened to the to six of the previous children. Now what happens with Kamsa? But Krishna relieved Devaki and Vasudeva from their anxiety by relieving Vasudeva from the shackles that bound him in the prison and opened the door. So in this way, Krishna demonstrated that he has come to relieve the shackles of those who are bound in this material world, that those who are fully absorbed in love for him and open the door to Vrindavan. Vasudeva went to Vrindavan. And this is described also in detail in Srimad Bhagavatam. The situation just prior to the appearance of Krishna in this world. I mean just prior. That means around now, right? Actually we should celebrate exactly at midnight, not according to the clock, but according to the what's actually midnight. We should do. I don't know if we're going to do that. We generally do because we're so accustomed to using the Western clock. And anyway, in most temples, traditionally, I guess they wouldn't have an exact timing, because unless you're keeping sand trickling down or water dripping from a copper pot and measuring the time, it's very hard to measure the time and previously, at least as far as we know. Anyway, it's just prior to Krishna's birth. What happens? What's the situation? Krishna makes a situation which is very calm and peaceful and pleasant, and in this way he gives an idea of the sadgati, the spiritual world to which he has come to take us. I'll read from Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book. At the time of Krishna's birth, the planetary systems were automatically adjusted so that everything became auspicious. At that time, in all directions, east, west, south, north, everywhere, there was an atmosphere of peace and prosperity. There were auspicious stars visible in the sky and on the surface of the earth in all towns and villages and pasturing grounds and within the minds of everyone. There were signs of good fortune. I guess everyone is a general term and doesn't include Kamsa. He was in great anxiety. But actually that was his great fortune also, because he was thinking of Krishna. For a demon, nothing is auspicious, but even if he thinks of Krishna, it's in an inimical way, but that's also for his good fortune. But he wasn't feeling like that. He was thinking, my bad fortune is about to be born. The Devaki is shining brilliantly. That means my death is in her womb. The rivers were flowing full of waters, and the lakes were beautifully decorated with lotus flowers. The forests were full with beautiful birds and peacocks. All the birds within the forests began to sing with sweet voices, and the peacocks began to dance along with their consorts. You don't hear in the middle of the night much birds singing. Sometimes you do, very early in the morning. But peacocks, they may start early in the morning, but this was before that. But when Krishna came to Vrindavan, all the peacocks in the middle of the night made a huge noise. I'm talking about Krishna when he came with Balaram from Jaipur on the back of a truck for Krishna Balaram Mandir. The deities are not installed, but they came. And at that time, just when the trucks, I believe there were two trucks, they entered Vrindavan, and all, there was a huge sound. All the peacocks welcomed. Krishna and Balaram. They were so happy. The wind blew very pleasantly, carrying the aroma of different flowers, and the sensation of bodily touch was very pleasing. At home, the Brahmanas who were accustomed to offering sacrifices in the fire found their homes very pleasant for offerings. Due to disturbances created by the demoniac kings, the sacrificial fire had been almost stopped in the houses of Brahmanas, but now they could find the opportunity to start the fire peacefully. Being forbidden to offer sacrifices, the Brahmanas had been very much distressed in mind, intelligence, and activities, but just on the point of Krishna's appearance, automatically their minds became full of joy because they could hear transcendental vibrations in the sky proclaiming the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The denizens of the Gandharva and Kinnara planets began to sing, and the denizens of Siddhaloka and the planets of the Charanas began to offer prayers in the service of the Personality of Godhead. In the heavenly planets, the angels and their wives, along with the Vidyadharas and their wives, began to dance. The great sages and the demigods being pleased, began to shower flowers. At the seashore there was the sound of mild waves, and above the sea there were clouds in the sky which began to thunder very pleasingly. When things were adjusted like this, Lord Vishnu, who is residing within the heart of every living entity, appeared in the darkness of night as the Supreme Personality of Godhead before Devaki. So that's the situation that Krishna made. Shankaracharya gives the meaning as he is the goal or the refuge of the God for the good. Quoting from the Taittiriya Upanishad, Asti Brahmeti Chet Vedas Santamenam Tato Viduhu. If a person knows Brahma, then he is called Santa by persons who are wise. He's the proper goal. Shankara also gives another meaning of the word gati as intellect. Thus, the name can also mean he who has a superior intellect. There's no more discussion given that, just very briefly it's given. And I won't discuss that. That's discussed elsewhere in Vishnu Sahasranam, for instance, much earlier in the name Medhavi. This series of verses, this series of names that we're discussing in this particular section of Vishnu Sahasranama, our own Gauriya commentator on Vishnu Sahasranam, Baladev Vidyabhushan, he gives the meaning accessible. He gives the meanings of all these names in relation to Bhishma and how Krishna is appearing before Bhishma just at the time of Bhishma's passing away. So here he gives the meaning accessible or attainable. And he gives the meaning that he is accessible to the... Krishna is accessible. Sulabha. Ananya cheta satatam yomang smarti nitya saha tasyaham sulabhang parata nitya yuktasya yoginaha. He's accessible, he's available to those who always think of him undeviatingly. this is the meaning that Baladev Vidyabhushan gives. and specifically gives the example of Bhishma. Now, this commentator by the name Ramanuja gives a comment in the name Sadgati that he is also available. He is Sadgati, that's undisputed, but he is also Asadgati. He's actually the goal for the rascals, fools, demons, etc., who don't know that he's the goal. Someone who knows that Krishna is the goal is a sadhu. Someone who doesn't know that or doesn't accept that is asat. He's a rascal. But actually, he's the goal for them also. And even if they don't accept him as the goal, he comes to this world, vinashayata dushkritam, to destroy them. But not to destroy them in the sense of absolutely crushing them in the way that they can never come to his lotus feet, because he is, after all, suhridam sarvabhutanam. He's the best well-wisher of all living beings, even those who are inimical toward him. So he acts differently toward different people according to the way they behave with him. Ye yata mang prabhadyante tangs tathaiva bhajami aham. But he is ultimately the gati for even people like Shishupal, whose main pleasure in life was insulting Krishna and thinking of how to kill Krishna. And so many other demons also. Krishna delivered them. Also, for persons who, from the material point of view, would not be considered sat, or very exalted, or very qualified, Krishna delivers them and loves them also. And in this regard, I'll quote from Srila Rupa Goswami's poetry compilation, Padyavali, from a verse which is by Sri Dakshinatya, who we don't know who he is now, but he is the composer of this verse. Vyadhyasya charanam dhruvasya cha vayo vidyaga jendraska kubjaya kim unama rupam adhikam kim tat sudamno dhanam vangshakho vidurasya yadava paterugrasya kim paurusham bhaktya tushyati kevalam nachagunair bhakti Priyo Madhava. Where was the hunter Dharma's piety? There is a story of a hunter called Dharma given in Shastra. And we also have the one who's known as Mrigrari from the Skanda Purana, related in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He wasn't. Where was his piety? A hunter? Pious? That's not a pious birth. It's a most impious birth. It's hardly even human, living in the jungle and hunting animals. They hunt you, you hunt them. It's hardly even human. So where was his piety? Where was the hunter Dharma's piety? When you think of a very exalted person, we don't think of a child. Oh, very great person. Now we want to introduce you to a very great person. Where is he? Where? Look down. Oh, there's a little five-year-old boy. So, what does he say? Dhruvasya cha vayaha. Dhruva was just a little boy. Where was his age? Literally means. Vidya gajendrasya ka. Where was Gajendra's knowledge? He was the dull elephant. Later he manifested knowledge from a previous life, but that birth as an elephant, he was specifically sent to the body of an elephant Because Agastya, in his previous life, Indradyumna, not the one who made the Jagannath temple, another Indradyumna, he was meditating very deeply and he didn't even notice Agastya with his associates appear at the place where Indradyumna was meditating. He should have stood up and welcomed him. But he appeared to, actually he was absorbed in transcendental meditation on Krishna, but he appeared to be just like dull like a stone. He didn't even notice. So Agastya, impelled by the Leela Shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he cursed him that you're just like a, you're so dull and ignorant, then you become an elephant. It's an elephant, symbol of big body, no brain. Actually, they have some brain, but not much. And definitely not, an elephant is definitely not fit for studying Shastra. Of course, we got Shastra through Ganesh, but he's not an elephant. He's just got an elephant head. So, Vidyagajendrasya ka, here ka, that puts the all these questions in the where. Kubjaya kim u nama rupam adhikam. Kubja, she had neither reputation nor beauty. She wasn't known as a very good woman. She didn't have a good reputation. And if one is born as a hunchback, that's understood to be bad karma. Nowadays in the world, you can't say things like that because it's not considered proper. But it's an, what did she do in a previous life to be hunchbacked? What did she do? Well, she was a hunchback in a previous life also. She was Mantara. Pretty bad thing she did. But it was good also, because it's all going on by the Leela Shakti. She impelled Kaikeyi, who was so much loving Ram, to act as Ram's enemy. So, Kubja, not a prime candidate for Krishna's mercy, we might think. And then another one. Kim tat sudhamno dhanam. Where was the money of Sudama? Where was the money means there was no money. He didn't have any money. What wealth? He had some old, he had some chipped rice. And that also, not the best quality. It's the cheapest food, which not fit for a king. We say sometimes if food is very opulent and succulent, we say, oh, fit for a king. But the kings, you don't think, maybe they do, but they don't eat some. Village people eat chipped rice, right? It's not for kings. Of course, Krishna likes all kinds of things, but the point is, Sudama didn't have any wealth, and that's considered something. You think, oh, here's a very respectable person. If some of the jewelers come here, or the big businessmen come here, they think, oh, very respectable person. Wealth is one of the factors by which a person can be respected. But Sudama didn't have any. And even when he entered the palace of Krishna, even though he was a Brahmana, and Krishna is Brahmanya Dev, he is worshipped by and the worshipper of Brahmanas, the well-wisher of Brahmanas. But even the inhabitants of the palace were surprised how respectfully Krishna received Sudama. He didn't seem like a very respectful person. He's a Brahmana, yeah, but he's so skinny from, it looks like he's not, people don't respect him. Maybe he's not getting enough food because why don't they give him enough bhiksha? There must be something wrong with him. Generally it's thought, that's very much so in the Protestant ethic we've been discussing in America, that if you don't have money, it's a sign of sinfulness. God doesn't like you if you don't have money. But that's not the case with Krishna. Where was Sudama's wealth? What about Vidura? He's of a, this person's from a very respectable family. He's the son of a maidservant. Shudra. Very respectable. No, not at all. Then what about Ugrasena Maharaj? Maharaj Kijai Ho. Ugrasena, very powerful king. Powerful means his own son arrested him and kept him locked up, and Ugrasena wasn't able to protect his citizens. So Yadava Pater Ugrasya King Paurusham. His name is Ugra. That's a good name for a Kshatriya, to be terrible in the eyes of your opponents. But Kamsa was actually Ugra. And Ugrasena, Vasudev also wasn't, he wasn't known as a fighter, even though he was a Kshatriya. He had to use diplomacy with Kamsa. He couldn't, he didn't even think about fighting him. So where was the Paurusham, the manliness, the Vala of Ugrasena? We don't usually discuss these things because it's a bit insulting, and Ugrasena is a great devotee. But it's being stated here to make the point that Madhava is satisfied only by devotion and not by any other qualities. He likes devotion. So to summarize these names, or the meanings of this name, Sadgati, he who provides the right path for the good, he who is himself the right path for the good, who has a superior intellect, who is attainable by the good and by the bad, or apparently not so good. That is Sadgati, and that is our goal, that is our Krishna, as our Bhagavan, and we're celebrating his appearance today. All glories to Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. Sadgati ki jai. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya vicha. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.